Blog Talk Radio.
Barely making it today, Freddie Kano.
Just barely, my friend.
I'm telling you, it's been like the most busiest weekend I've ever had, and I didn't even work one show or whatever. But real quick for the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check us out every Sunday from 7 to 8:30. Got my man Freddie Havoc over here with me, just getting wrapping everything up over there at his work, and I'm barely made it on there. Freddie, usually I have everything said. I have everything written down, what I want to talk about, blah, blah, blah. Got my commercials, everything. Don't have any of it, bro. So we're gonna wing it today, as we usually say. I did talk to Guyan. He's got a big show coming up on the 22nd, I believe it is, of August. So we're going to get him on because he wants to promote that. And I have a couple things I want to run by him as well as Freddie, because there's a couple of things that came up as I'm getting ready to do another show, and I got some stuff going on with that. But real quick, before we went on the air, I was telling Freddie, did you work any shows this weekend, Freddie, or were you just working your regular job, or were you home? What was the weekend like?
Just working my regular job, to be honest with you. I mean, I started work my work week yesterday. I was off all the way through Friday, and then I started yesterday, today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. So I don't have my next day's off won't be until Wednesday through Saturday of next week. So if you hear some ruckus in the background, I apologize. But no, I don't work any shows, nothing like that.
Well, I was supposed to work yesterday at, you know, like, honestly, I don't even know the company or whatever, but it was over at Della O's, and they kind of called me back, I think the week before or 2 weeks before or whatever. I was like, yeah, man, I got nothing on, I'm down. But unfortunately, I think we talked about it last week. I messed up my shoulder wrestling against Power Baby Genesis, but it's weird because it's always a freak accident. I think I was telling you I went to catch him, but my shoulder got caught up like across my stomach, and so when he hit me, he landed right on the left shoulder, which just bruised it up or whatever. So I was just laid up. But I'm gonna ask Freddie this question too. This is the out of wrestling for almost 24 years. The worst call I have to make is when I have to call somebody and go, bro, I'm sorry, I got hurt, I'm not going to be able to make it or whatever, because it just throws such a monkey wrench when you have a show ready to go or whatever and you're scrambling for people at the last minute. First of all, Freddie, have you ever had to make that call? And second of all, how do you feel when you have to? I mean, sometimes it can't be helped and you have to, but it just kills me every time I do it. What about yourself?
I got two sides of this. Fortunately for me, I have never had to make that call. Knock on wood that I don't have to make that. I've been lucky on that. But I've had to turn down deals because I was injured. So I've never had to pull out of a show for an injury, but I know that I haven't been available to do shows. You know, sometimes they call me like, hey, man, are you available for this date? And I'm like, you know what? Unfortunately, I'm not. I'm dealing with an injury right now. You know, and those are a bummer.
Yeah.
You know, all I can say is that, you know, there's been some shows where I've actually had to work through an injury. And even those are sometimes I'm hard on myself just because, you know, I want to give the fans 100% of everything I have. And I always tell myself, if I can't give them 100%, I feel like I'm cheating them out. Like, even if it's 99%, I feel like I'm cheating them out. Like, I just want to try to give them everything I have. I mean, they spend that, you know, whether it's a $20 show, a $10 show, that's $10 that they could spend on something else. And they chose to come spend it on me. Like, I want to make sure I give them 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the thing, though. Yeah, you don't want to go show up half-assed and mail it in, you know, when you get there, because that just sucks, man. You want to be able to put on a show. Now, I'll run another something by you again, too. We'll talk about this real quick. I talked to him before, especially, like, I always go to Enigma because Enigma's been around the business so long. We always, you know, I run stuff by him or whatever. So this is the deal, okay? Tuesday I turned 56 years old, okay? Been wrestling forever. But I stopped, you know, I retired a while back. But then when Nicolette started doing shows or whatever, I got back into it because we were working together, blah, 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 whatever, right? So then I got this reputation about being, you know, an entertaining wrestler, but Fabiano doesn't know how to wrestle, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, you know, So I was going to make this whole big comeback. I was training and everything to work a little bit more chain wrestling, do some hold-to-hold, blah, 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 whatever, right? Just to prove, although I don't really feel I have to, but, you know, that I can wrestle, right? So, dude, I've already had both hips replaced, okay? Now they're talking about left knee replacement. And I'm like, dude, there's once that happens, that's it, bro. I mean, you know, you're done. You can't wrestle with hip replacement and a knee replacement. It's just not going to happen or whatever. So I completely changed everything. Now, the whole gimmick's even changed. I'm wrestling in jeans now. I'm wearing those pull-up cowboy-style boots that you don't have to lace because I can't lace boots anymore or whatever. So it's just completely, strictly changed into just more of a brawling type of get in there, just get to swinging, you know, or whatever, and then, you know, we're done. Kind of like, I'm not going to say Bruiser Brody because I ain't anywhere near Bruiser Brody, but I'm talking about that style. You just come in and start hitting, or like a Stan Hansen or whatever. We're just coming in and we're just gonna go at it or whatever. So on that same subject, you know, Freddie, you're still, you know, a younger guy, still going or whatever. Have the injuries at all started to catch up to you to where you're like, dude, like you said, there's a couple of shows you couldn't make because you weren't injured or whatever. Is it starting to catch up to where the point I'm trying to make with you is, do you think maybe, like, if let's say you said, look, man, I'm going to take a full month off, just a month, and I'm just going to let all my injuries heal and do whatever and then come back and really, really do some damage, or has it not gotten to that point yet?
No, I think the injuries are starting to catch up on me. Definitely the knees. I feel like my knees and my ankles are definitely hurting a lot more. But see, some of the times, I don't know if it's the injuries from you know, my shoot job to the wrestling job, you know. It's a little bit of a mixture of both. You know, my back still feels good. My shoulders still feel good. Just mostly my knees and ankles. And sometimes I feel like, you know, like I want to take some time off, and I've taken some time off, but then I feel like I come back, and I feel like I'm more rustier than ever. It's almost like I got to find that balance of, like, you know what, I just got to train through it and get through it. You know, one of my sponsors, Zoe, you know, they've been able to do a lot of like knee braces and ankle supports and things like that with pressure, you know, to get the blood flowing and things like that. Those seem to help. You know, a few arguments that I've had from doctors, like almost like the icy hot stuff seems to help out, just to loosen me up, things like that. But no, they're definitely, like I said, injuries are catching up, you know, like I start to think sometimes, like, how much more do I really have left to give, you know, like I said, when I first came back in 2015, it was just supposed to be a one and done, wasn't supposed to keep going or anything like that. But, you know, there's days where I feel great and I feel like I can keep going, and then there's days where I just feel like, man, you know, like, am I nearing that time? Because I don't want to make myself look out there like an idiot, you know, in front of people, you know, and if I can't go out there and give them the Freddie Havoc that they've known to love and appreciate, then what good am I out there? You know, it's like, you know, I've achieved the small goals that I wanted to achieve. You know, maybe as an active wrestler, it's almost, my time is almost up. But, you know, after talking to Rick Knox a few weeks ago, you know, it's almost like that transition to being a referee again might be in my future, just so that I can still be involved in some way.
Right. And here's the thing, too. If you don't have a shoot job or whatever, where are you going to get the money from? Like me, with this left knee, I had to pay. He said, well, look, man, if you're not going to get the knee replacement, there's this thing that they can inject into your knee that helps your cartilage get back, you know, or whatever, and all this. But so it was four shots, okay, four injections, and almost $1,100 for the four injections, okay? So I got them done. I was good for maybe about a week, and then right back to everything swelled up again and everything. So it was just like $1,100 out the door. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, so it starts to pile up, and then you start thinking, well, dude, you know, have I had enough? And then I'll go have a show where everything just clicks. You know what I mean? Boom, boom, boom. And it's like, man, everything went perfect and everybody was happy. Somebody bought me a beer or whatever. And it was like, bro, this was great. So then you get, you can relate to that. And you're like, damn, dude, this show, I got to keep going. Because it's like anything else. That you do a show and sometimes everything is just there. And then there's some shows where you go, damn it. You know, this, you know, I should have done this or I should have done that. And this could have went better, whatever. Right.
Oh, definitely, definitely right. it's always going to be those things that happen. Like, I'll give you a good example is, you know, with my shoot job, I think I've broken my toe or stubbed my toes and all this, like throughout this last year that I pretty much have lost feeling in my toes. They're still the same anymore. You know, it's almost like I need, you know, obviously you need your toes to push off because that's, you know, you can get out of that leg strength.
Right.
But, yeah, definitely, like I said, the injuries are catching up. You know, I feel like I have another good 2 years in me left, and then that's it. I think I'm going to call it. Unless something happens sooner that changes everything, that makes me retire sooner. But I do feel like I have 2 years, at least 2 years left, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and, you know, you say that now or whatever, but after 2 years, that, you know, you're going to say, okay, this is my last show or something, and something's just going to click. And you're going to go, damn, everything went just right. And somebody's going to call you and go, hey, bro, we'd like to put you up against this dude, and we think it'll make a good show. And you'll be like, yes, yes. And you can't – it's really hard to leave the business because it's in your blood. You know what I mean? It's just really hard, you know. But then, like we say, we don't want to go out there and look like crap or whatever. But it, for me, dude, even though I'm in my 50s, my upper body is completely strong. I mean, really, you know, with the supplements that I take and going to the gym and the people that I work with, right? But from the waist down, with two hip replacements and now a bad knee, it's not as strong, and it sucks. So I still work my legs and stuff, but I'm limited on what I could do. So then, you know, you come home and you go, okay, that's it, bro. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this or that. And, you know, you start working your full-time job, and sometimes I don't get up till 11:30 at night, and it's like, man, I can't make it to the gym, I'm dying, or whatever. So this is kind of like what we're talking about, is what you go through as a wrestler, you know, because there's just so much out there. Go ahead.
You mentioned that, and it's like yes, like, you know, yeah, like these last few weeks I've been kind of like, you know, like just not all into it, right? So yesterday, you know, the people I work with found out that I wrestle. You know, they found me on the social media, and they're like, hey, is this you? And I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, they're talking to me, and it's almost like they give me that burst. Like you said, it's hard to walk away because now they're, like, interested, and now they want to see what I do, and then they ask questions, and they want to know.
Yeah.
They're like, dude, we want to go see you. We want to go support you. And I'm over here like, man, I'm like, all right, let's do this, guys. And they give me that energy to go back into it. And like you said, it's so hard. It's definitely going to be hard to walk away. Like you said, it's in your blood. It's in our blood.
Yeah.
You know, if we've been doing this for this long, it's in our blood. You know, there's some guys that come in and they just, it's not for them, and they walk away and it's easy for them. But for guys like you and me that have been around this for such a long time, whether, you know, like I said, when I stepped away in 2006, you know, I still watched WWE. I still watched, you know, things here and there, but, you know, I never stood with the indies. And then I came back in 2015, and it's like, I don't know who this person is, but, man, I would really like to work with this person, you know, or I don't know who this person is. I want to work with that person. It's like, oh, my God, dude, what were these guys when I was younger? Can I, you know, it's almost like I want to see if I can test myself with them. You know, I'll give you a good example.
Yeah.
You know, I train with Jack Cartwheel, and when he and I get the opportunities to train together, you know, and work some stuff out, you know, during training, it's almost like he brings out the best in me. Like, it's like I have to, like I tell myself, I need to keep up with him. I got to keep up with him because obviously he's younger and he's going to get the spots and things like that, but I just want to be able to say that I kept up with him. I'm not caring that I don't get the same opportunity that he does, but at least I can say behind closed doors, I kept up with him. It's almost like those stories you hear of like Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar. You know, those guys went, you know, toe to toe behind closed doors, and you know, the story is that Kurt Angle took him out. You know, nobody can ever vouch for that, but the stories are there. It's like, hell, man, I don't give a damn if people don't believe me or not. I know if I kept up with Jack Cartwheel. And for the most part, you know, he makes it, you know, it's going to sound as corny as it's going to sound, man.
Yeah.
But being in the ring with Jack Cartwheel, it's almost like he keeps me young.
I could totally relate to what you're talking about. And I'm gonna bring that up, too, when we get Guyam in here. But I got to take this first commercial break. Let me take this quick break. We'll come back, do the commercials, and we'll talk to Guyam. Because now that Freddie said that, there's something I want to point out on that same thing or whatever. So let me take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hold on.
Hey. I'm going to step away real quick because I'm going to be on my job, so I'm going to mute it.
Go for it. Heard that whole conversation because I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't meet him. So Freddie's gonna just be gone for just a quick second while he gets himself together, and I get Guyan on here. But for the people listeners here on UWC Radio, don't forget about Paul's Photos. Far and away, Paul's Photo is the best store for all your camera needs. Located in the city of Torrance, they have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photo will take care of all your photo and video needs. Located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark at 310-375-7014, and you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. Now, that's huge because we've been working on getting some stuff done out there in Torrance. You know, they're making us jump through a few hoops here and there, for lack of a better term. But we're steadily working on that to get that going. Got a couple of venues in mind because we want to keep that Pistol Pete Memorial Tag Team Tournament going. So let's get Guyan in here real quick because there's a few things that I want to talk about. It's funny because I'll be talking to Freddie and he'll give me that, something will click. I'll go, yeah, he makes up a good point. So I want to expand on that, you know. Hopefully Guyan picks up the phone because he's a busy dude. He might be on the phone with me. Hey, Guyan, it's Fabiano. You're live. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, my brother.
Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at UWC Wrestling. Don't forget you can radio. Don't forget you can always check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information and everything on there. Make sure you check that out. My ex-producer, Cody Rhodes, has been steadily helping with that website, so hopefully we'll have some stuff up there pretty soon so you can check it out. Now, on the line with me right now, and it's funny, Guyan, because I got – so, you know, the two people I go to the most are Guyan and Enigma, because they've seen and done it all. There's nothing they haven't seen. There's no injury that they haven't had or whatever. So, you know, he's got a big show coming up. So I want to talk about that. But before we get into talking about your big show coming up on the 22nd, there's a couple things I want to run by. And Freddie, if you can hear me, as soon as you're ready, just jump in. Let me know when you're back. The first thing that Freddie and I talked about when we were getting ready to go on the air is injuries. Because I remember we talked not too long ago when I was telling you how I just went to catch Power Baby, and he hit me just right to where – luckily it just bruised the shoulder. It wasn't separated or anything like that. Just had to rest it for a little while. You know, I had some x-rays done, and it was cool. So I had a show booked for this Saturday, you know, last Saturday. And the call I hate to make, especially at the last minute, is, hey, man, I got injured. You know, I didn't make the show or whatever. But, you know, Freddie and I were talking about this before. You don't want to go to the show and go half-ass it. You know what I mean? For lack of a better term. So
just mail it in, no.
Yeah, so have you ever had to do that? Or have you just made the call and said, look, man, I can't be 100%. I'm not going to come. I'm sorry or whatever. How's that worked out for you?
You know, I've been blessed, Fabi. I've suffered broken nose, around three times, four times perhaps, broken fingers. And that's about it, really. But injuries, injuries, shoulders, nothing. You're very, very sore. You get bruised up in the ribs. I have one time I bruised ribs. But you got to work. But the point is like, if you feel it in your heart that you have the capacity to perform to at least 95%, then go for it. But
yeah.
when you feel and your body tells you, your body tells you, you got to say, well, there's no freaking way we're going up to the ring today. Then you got to listen to your body, and that's, to me, that's the best policy. Just go with your body telling you, because it is very, very, very dangerous. and not only to you, but also to your opponent.
Right.
Because these things happen, you know?
Yeah, we talked about that before with Enigma, because he had a shoulder injury, and it that's what he told me. He goes, you know, I don't want to go to pick somebody up, and the shoulder pops out, and bam, I drop him right on his head. You know what I mean? He goes, I don't want to be responsible for somebody being in a wheelchair. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. So that goes without saying. We talked a little bit about that. But before we continue on, because Guyana's got a big show coming up, Lucha Libre Alliance is coming back to the Arena. It's on Florence and Maine. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But just when I have him on, I got to pick his brain for this. Now, the second thing is, it's funny because we were talking, Freddie and I, about working certain shows and working with certain people and stuff like that. And it's funny because there's a lot of people that I've worked with that like, I'll say, I'm not afraid to put this young guy with this guy because I know he's going to make him work. And I can remember like it was yesterday. I was not too young in the business. I had been working for a little while, but it was the first time I worked Dr. Muerte, the one that's Acero Dorado's father-in-law. The one that
Lencho.
Yeah, I had no choice but to get it, because like I didn't even get light for him. He would just pick me up and give me a slam, and if I wasn't ready, too bad. I mean, that's one dude that I can remember that made me work. Either you're gonna work or just leave or something, because the couple times that I wrestled him, he brought it out in me. I had to work. I had to up my game, or else I was going to look like crap. So that I completely remember. Now, first of all, has it ever happened to you where you worked against somebody and said, man, this guy, you know, he's making me work? And second of all, you know, now that you do your shows or whatever, do you see that? Like, this kid will go, man, you know, I don't know if I want to work this guy. Would I go, look, man, he's going to make you work, and he's going to bring it out of you, so you better be ready. I mean, has that happened to you, you know, with all the stuff that you've been through?
Let me tell you, I come from from the gym and of East LA, and then from my dad and my brothers who taught me to
just
go up to the ring 100% prepared, because I mean, if you go half-assed, you're not a true wrestler. So
right.
No, I've never really feared or felt that, oh my god, I'm way over my head with this guy. No, I
right.
remember the first in Tijuana at Solitario, God rest his soul, and my brother will attest to this. I as we're going down the tunnel, they tell you to wait a little bit, and we're going against each other. And I was a kid, man, but I'm so fired up. I'm looking at it, and I'm bouncing. You know, I was, what, 22, 23-year-old? I mean, you're just bouncing on your feet, you know, and I'm looking right at him. And he's looking at me like saying, what's up with this fucking guy? But I mean, you got to get yourself pumped up like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, no, I've never felt it's been over my head. And, all that confidence comes through working out and working with the best people in the world and in the industry.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying now, because I booked for a couple of different companies. And if I'm going to put this guy with this guy, then I know, I go, man, he's going to make him work. He's going to bring it out of him, you know, you know, none of that. Because a lot of the workers nowadays, they like to stay in their comfort zone, you know, because they're used to working with this guy. They train this
Okay,
guy.
Okay. But that was
go for
your
it.
Other question. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to be a full-rounded wrestler. You have to wrestle with anybody. In fact, you wrestle with people you don't even speak the same language.
Right.
But you just, everybody, usually when I'm booked, all I ask is respectfully, how much is my pay and where am I in the card? Because Mexican wrestlers, we're always fighting about who's in the main, who's in the semi. And when they throw me in the opener, I'm not too happy with it. So that's the only thing I ask. Where am I in the card? How much is my pay? I never ask, who am I going to wrestle with? Who is
right.
Yeah,
right. Or I
want to
wrestle this person.
I'm a pro. I'm gonna work with whoever. You know, that's just the way it is.
Right. And here's,
you know,
I'm gonna
jump in real quick on that one.
Go for it.
You
go,
know,
are
I,
you there,
I work, I, yeah, I'm here. I'm back. I worked a show a year or two back. Obviously not last year because of the pandemic. It was a guy named Maverick.
Yeah.
He was from Tijuana, and he was he only spoke Spanish. And I mean, I'm good with Spanish. I speak Spanish fluently, But the moves that we were calling, I'm not used to. You know, when he called the plancha, I was thinking of something else. And, you know, there's that thing.
Terminology,
And right now, training with Little Cholo and Mariachi Loco, I love that they implement us to learn the moves in Spanish. Like, we can't even say it in English when we go to class. He's trying to teach all his students, you know, how to be bilingual so that when we do get those opportunities to work with guys from, you know, Mexico or somewhere else, that we at least, you know the terminology so that we can feel comfortable in there. It's like I said right now. You have to be comfortable.
Yes, and very important I'll give you an example. An arm drag in American wrestling, and we call it suplex. It's different. It's still an arm drag. A suplex is correct. Suplex, you know, the way it's always done, Kurt Angle style. But but for some reason in Mexico they call it a suplex, it's just an arm drag. And so, terminology is very important in our business, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just like you said,
like a japonesa is the hip toss.
Hip toss, yeah. You have to be prepared or well rounded. Now, on that note, and I'm gonna get to your show, Kaya, but when I have you on, like I said, I got it because like I said, I'm booking for different companies. Now, when I was in the ranks or whatever, like working for Kiss and Carisma or Martin from WPW or whatever, This is just me. I didn't worry so much about the pay. I did if I was just working a show and whatever, but if it led to something, I didn't worry about it. And that's just me. So a Kiss and Carisma would say, hey, look, I'm only going to pay you this much, but I'm going to put you with Blue Panther or whatever. And they had enough confidence with me. And I'm like, absolutely, man. And then that led to going to Tijuana and working with Fantasma or whatever. And same thing with Martin. You know, of course, he didn't pay that much, but he would say, look, I'm going to put you against the headhunters, you know, in this match. And I'm like, cool, because it's working towards something. Go ahead, Gael.
Yeah, no, brother. No, always the opportunity that a promotion that a company offers you, you have to go for it because, I mean, it is true. Yeah, we are the exploited ones, you know. way it is. But if you really think about it, the promoter, he's the one who's bankrolling the whole show, the whole thing. And if he's giving you an opportunity, like Martin Marino, who is my dear friend, God bless you.
Yeah.
Martin.
Yeah.
WPW on my heart. If they're doing everything, I mean, if they offer you a chance for exposure, you go for it, man. I mean, that's just what the way it is.
Yeah.
So
now I'm booking some of these shows, and some of these young guys, you know, that I'll call them and say, hey, look, man, I need you to work the show. I'm going to pay you X money. That's not enough. I need this much, or whatever. And I'm like, well, bro, I can't pay you that much, but I'm working with you because I want you to continue, and I got plans for you. You know, if you prove yourself in this match, I'm going to get you that good match, and I'm going to get you the pay. I just can't do it right now. But when they tell me, nope, I need this much, I'm sorry, man, but I'm not going to work with you anymore. That, you know, we're working towards something. I can pay you a little bit. But when you start coming up to me and going, no, I want this much, I'll be honest, man, I'm not going to use you anymore. Okay. Now, first of all, have you ran upon that problem, Kayam, or you feel different?
In fact, just last our last show, because Fabiano had priorities and understandably so. You, Fabiano, let me tell you, my brother, you are my hero. All medical staff in the world are our heroes. So you that day, you couldn't go to our show because you were saving lives. And I'm not being hokey about this. I mean it with the bottom of my heart, Fabi. You were doing a thing of humanity. Okay, that's your job, yes. But it's very, very special. And so that's why you couldn't make it to the show.
Thanks.
I don't go through the problem with this kid. He calls me up and I tell him, hey, I need you. Could you make it? He goes, yeah, I'll be there, but it's this much amount. I tell him, no, my brother, let's work it. He goes, no, that's all right. I go, thank you for speaking to you. I'll see you next time.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I mean, you know what? I don't criticize them, Bobby, because they want everyone's out to make a buck. I get it.
Yeah.
No problem. But, I mean, geez, I mean, the inside of the business, we know what the money is, you know. Come on.
Yeah. Because as long as it's working towards something, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with none of that, putting somebody over or whatever. It's just if it's leading to something, I have absolutely no problem with it. But real quick before I got to go to the commercial, Freddie, give me your thoughts on that because you're still, you know, do you do that? Do you say, hey, look, I need X amount, and if not, I'm not working? Or if it's working towards something like, hey, man, later on down the line, we're going to put you up against so-and-so, you know, real quick, give me your thoughts on that.
Real quick, I do see that happen a lot with these younger stars today. I mean, it's almost like they feel entitled, and it's like, no, that's not the – I mean, the way I was brought up back, you know, with Ron Rivera, American Wild Child, you know, and Botanas, was I was lucky if I got paid. You know, it was more about the experience when I first started out. Like, I never asked for money. I never asked for anything.
Right.
I remember the first time I got a white envelope, I was like, wait, is this for real? Is this really happening? Like, I didn't expect it, you know? As of today, where I'm at today, if the promoter asks me what's my fee, then I'll give him my fee. I know sometimes the promoters say, hey, this is all I can give you. Do you accept it? Yeah, I don't ever turn down a thing, for anything. I get that some promotions aren't as big as others and they can't pay, you know, my regular fee. But if you're – the only time I ever say, you know, hey, I need this if you want me to do this match, is if I'm going to do a hardcore match. If I'm going to do something a little bit more crazier than I normally do, then I might ask for a little bit more just because it's a hardcore match. If you just want me to go in there and give you a regular Lucha Libre match or American style or anything, then by all means, no, I don't ever say, hey, then you need to pay me this. I think that's stupid, it's something that I've never had issues with. I mean, at least the way I conduct myself, I've never had anybody say, oh, you're ridiculous or anything like that. I think everybody should respect
you have me applaud, my brother.
That's why we have this show, because it's certain people, like I'm bringing a couple of guys from Las Vegas. And, you know, that's a long ride, man. You know, that's a 4-hour driver. So I want to at least make sure they get taken care of. You know what I mean? So there's different, you know, if people don't understand when you're booking shows, there's a lot of different things that come into play. But real quick, let me take a quick break. It's going to be real quick, and then I'll come back so we can talk about Guyam's big show, Lucha Libre Alliance. I'm going to talk to him a little bit about that because I think he's taking the easy way out. So let me take a quick break. I'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody. Hang on. Hang on. Yeah, back here live at UWC. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to check out a lot of the information. And if you do check that out, you got to check out Yards After Contact. Yards After Contact, apparel, clothing brand, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Go to their Facebook page to check out a lot of their cool picks, especially the UWC custom cornhole boards, as well as the UWC T-shirts and golf shirts, modeled by the owner and proprietor of the United Wrestling Council, Manny Benson. You got to check it out because he's a heck of a model. So don't forget, Yards After Contact. I'm making myself laugh because I'm thinking of Manny in the golf shirt. Apparel and custom cornhole boards. Check it out.
You're
done. Get yours today.
That's why you're laughing. You're done.
Yes. Yards After Contact is a proud
Bobby.
Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to add something real quick. I don't know if you're moving on, but you know, I know that there's one promoter that I work for who actually has given me more money than I expected, and that's because, you know, he's like, hey, if you sell any tickets, you know, I'll give you. I think he gave me like 10% of whatever I sold, you know, and that's one time where I made more money in that situation. And I remember I sold like 70 tickets for a show. I legit sold 70 tickets. I got a little bonus.
Yeah, that comes from mixed martial arts. When I work for King of the Cage, they give you a certain amount of tickets, and however much you sell, you get a percentage of that or whatever. So that's where that came from, and that's cool. I mean, if you're the promoter and that's the way they work or whatever, I totally get that. But real quick, before we continue on, big show coming up. You know, if you haven't been down to the Lucha Libre Arena, it's back open. It's been packed. People have been dying to see some wrestling. So Lucha Libre Lance will be back over there. It's on Sunday, August 22nd. It's don't forget, it's right off of Florence and Main if you want to check it out. If you need some information, you can call 562-896-3954. So real quick.
Perfect.
Big, you know, I don't know, real quick, Gayam, tell us what happened last week, because I know there was a tag team match, but now it looks like you're going to go against Malice one-on-one. Is there some heat there, or what's happening?
Yeah. Well, the last time we defended our titles successfully, Vito and I, against Sicario and Johnny Starr. So we cleared that. Excuse me. But I have a feud for years going with Malice. So Malice and I, we have bad blood going there. So we're mixing it up this the 22nd. With Kayam, Vito, my tag team champ, and Fletcher Fugazo, which is a legend. The guy is just tremendous, okay? And then Juan Roman was a great wrestler. Malice, my title, my thorn. And Sicario, this kid, Sicario, okay, he's the... He wrestles as Sicario. As Atomic. This guy is just so talented, man. This guy has a future, tremendous future. That's a semi. The main, brother, the main is La Hora de la Verdad, means it's now or never. For the world title, Lucha Libre Alliance, Black Metal, the champ, against Warhawk. Warhawk has just been, he's just been antsy for this match. He wants it so bad. The dude, he sleeps, dreams, wakes up. Excuse me.
Ya fumaste? You smoking cigars? What's going on over there?
So stogies, man. But yeah, Warhawk is just so amped for this match, brother. I've seen him work out, and this guy's carrying around these freaking logs over his head. Looking at how straight, man. The guy's a madman. And Black Metal, wow, my respect for Metal, because he looked like a champ, you know. And he's held the title for a year now, over a year, because of the COVID starting thing. We couldn't show. So he's been a champ for about a year and a half now. And he doesn't fear anybody. So that's the main, brother. And
I talked to him. I call him Jack, but he is Black Metal. Yeah. And he's like, dude, Warhawk better be careful. You know, because you ever heard that saying, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it? And I'm like, he goes, well, now he's got it. Or whatever. So I'm like, all right.
But
every time I see Warhawk at Puerto Escondido, or what, that's all he talks about.
Yeah.
Bro, I got to get that title back. I'm going to get that title. I'm nothing without it. You know what I mean? So they're going to go at it, man.
Oh, he is so focused on that. And in the match that was last month, Warhawk took off his mask, man. That's the ultimate disrespect. That's the ultimate disrespect, brother. So you know Warhawk, but all six cylinders, working. Oh, man, this guy is going to be one hell of a match. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and then so you've got Malice. And then Fletcher Fugazo going against Fire Roman?
Yeah. So that's the main. That's semi-main. But let me tell you about the third. Because it's going to be Jades, Primitivo, Maligno, and Jaguar de Oro. But it's that's why our motto, our logo for Lucha Alliance is tradition and innovation. Because this is the first thing. Okay, it's four guys. But it's gonna be a lucha en ruleta rusa, which means lottery. It's gonna be a lottery. Let's see who up with who. Yeah, let's see who takes up with who. And it's four guys. And, the last time, Malina and Jaguar, they went at it. So it's very interesting because they don't like each other. Hopefully, they won't end up as tag team partners. But they're going to do the raffle, and that's going to be really cool. Okay, that's a third. Check out the second match, my brother. Chain match. Volcán Sr. versus Mr. California.
Yes.
Where do you see a card where the second match is a chain match?
Yeah.
God darn it.
Yeah. That's,
you know what
well,
I'm talking
you,
about?
You got two crazy people, that's why.
You got like, the crazy chivos. They come up with the craziest thing.
Exactly, exactly. So that card is stacked from top to bottom. So all that tells
now, hold on.
Is that you got to get there.
Hold it. The
go for
opener,
it.
The opener is Gaibar. The people love this kid, Gaibar. And he's going against the most hated guy in the world, Super Gabacho.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. These two guys are going to light up. And that's the opener.
Yes. That's well, see, like I said, all that tells me is that the people got to get there early. You know, you don't want to miss any of those matches, which they do anyways, to be honest with you. That place is packed before it even gets started. But that's a stacked card.
You know,
I mean, that's and a lot of heat in that card, too.
Now, Bobby, can I say one more thing?
Go for it.
In the intermission, there's going to be live music, like usual. But
right. We're
going to honor Enigma. We did it in Puerto Escondido, where it was
for the guy.
It was mainly for the guy. Wrestlers from all over came to witness that beautiful evening. But now it's for the fans. With the fans, we're going to celebrate Enigma's career and recognize his retirement as a professional wrestler. Not as a commissioner, because he's still the commissioner,
right. But
as a professional wrestler. So that's going to be this Sunday, and that's very, very special. Folks, please be there, because my brother, he's put all his life, to lucha, to wrestling. And so we're going to honor him just briefly, but that's going to be part of the break.
Yes, and just real quick, for the people listening on UWC Radio, Enigma has been probably one of the most influential people of my career. Because let me tell you something, he's a nice guy, and he would, you know, he'd always say, Fabiano, you got to do this, and you know, hey, make sure you do this, and professional all the time. But let me tell you something, I made him mad one time, and he said, God dang it, if you do it again, I'm gonna have to put it on you, or whatever. I was like, all right, I'm sorry. I mean, he. The point I'm trying to make is the passion that he has or had for the business has been there.
When I was in
the business.
It's definitely not the past tense. It's present. He has that passion right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let me end it with this, okay? You can wrestle all the Malice and whoever you want, but sooner or later you're going to have to face me. The last time I was in that ring, I almost, for some reason, I thought my kidney was going to explode because you hit me so hard with that maroma. I never got my rematch when you guys beat us up in Long Beach at the nightclub or whatever.
Right.
So before it's all said and done, you're going to have to face me. And Freddie and I were talking at the opening because, you know, all these people said, well, Fabiano can't wrestle. He's just entertainment. So I was going to make this whole big comeback and do this, you know, show people I can wrestle. Who cares? I had to change and go back,
Bobby,
to just giving people a meeting. So don't forget,
listen,
before it's all said and done, you got to get past
it. Bobby, we're working on getting a cage at Florence and Maine, the home of the Chivos and home of Lucha Libre Alliance.
Right.
But we're going to work on putting a cage around that ring. And you know who's going to debut? Cage match.
Yes.
How about King Fabiano and Old Cahan?
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, that would be perfect. Even I don't care if you have to do 2x4s with chicken wire to make it with zip ties or whatever. Whatever it takes. I gotta get at least one more because that last match took a lot out of me. I always tell Enigma that match put one nail in the coffin. Because that was one of the hardest matches I've ever had. So I would appreciate it.
In that cage match, we have that cage ready, which
yes.
is not very long from now. Okay? It's going to be a couple of months. But
yes.
We get it. It's you and me, baby.
Okay. I would be more than happy to do that. I mean, we gotta settle that thing because I got killed that last match or whatever. So for the people listeners, don't forget, you gotta check out Lucha Libre Alliance. It's always a good time. You know, the people are hot. They come to see good wrestling. You know, from the time you get there to the time you leave, it's always a good time. So make sure you check out Lucha Libre Alliance. It's Sunday, August 22nd. What time do the doors open, Cayenne?
The doors open at 4:30.
Doors 4:30 open at 4:30.
And the number is the number is 562-896-3954. That's Lucha Libre Alliance, LLA.
3954. All right, we'll make sure we get that at the end of the show so people, if you want to call and get some information, if you want to sit up front or whatever, so make sure you come and check it out.
You call, you call the number. We make sure that your seats are not numbered, but with your name on it, so you will have no problem.
Well, perfect. You can reserve up front so you can see it from that point of view. Hey, KM, I appreciate you coming on, man. I mean, it's always great to talk to you to clear some stuff up and everything.
You've got to
check out Lucha Libre Alliance. We're going to take a quick break. I'll come back. I got a couple things I want to run by Freddie before we get out of here. But make sure you check out Lucha Libre Alliance. Huge show coming up on the 22nd. Got to check it out. All right, KM, I'll get with you between now and then for sure. All right, my friend? All right, I'm going to leave you with this because this is what's going to happen at that cage match. Hold on. somebody's going to be leaving like that. So, all right, we'll be right back. Looking forward to that cage match, man, for sure. For the people listening, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com. Freddie, I got to tell you, man, there's something that's been that, you know, I got a lot of emails and I got a lot of messages on because I hate when people call you a mark. This is the only sport where they say, oh, if you like this person, you're a mark. We're all marks, dude. There's a lot of people. I think Marty Scurll is one of the baddest wrestlers going today, entertaining, can move, and really thought he was awesome. Now, I'm also a huge Bray Wyatt mark. I mean, that dude, when you can control a crowd the way he does with everybody turning and coming out to slow music, and it was just different. You know, it was just so different, and people were like, wow, you know, it was just really cool. So I'm a huge Bray Wyatt fan. Now, when they released him, I was kind of happy because it seemed like they were just getting silly with them, lighting them on fire or whatever, which to me was just ridiculous. But now, since they released him, and I thought about it, they're saying, well, they should bring him since Brody Lee passed away and take over the Dark Order or whatever. And I thought, man, that would be effing genius, man. He would really spark or light a fire under that and really bring it to the forefront. And if they bring his brother in, Bo Dallas, who's legit brother, and get him in there, I think they could really, you know, I don't know who's their creative person behind the scenes or whatever, but I think he could really. I was so happy when they released him because it felt like, you know, he was finally unleashed and he could go back to the way he was and really doing, you know, that. So first question is, give me your thoughts on Bray Wyatt. I think it was not the Fiend, but Bray Wyatt, how he was so different, and it was just something really different when they first, and I thought the whole Wyatt family was cool with Brody Lee and the big guy with the red hair, I forget his name or whatever, and give me your thoughts on that first, and then about him maybe going to AEW and taking over the Dark Order. Give me thoughts on that.
I thought Bray Wyatt was a genius. I was very upset as a wrestler, not as a fan, but as a wrestler, that I always thought that he should have been the one to break Undertaker's streak. There was something about him that was just more sinister. You know, it was different from a Mankind. It was different from the Undertaker, but it was almost like he always went out there and said, "I'm the new face of fear." You know, the eater of worlds. He was perfect for the taking of the new Undertaker, you know, the modern day Undertaker, almost in a way.
Agreed. 100%.
When he first came out, I didn't know what it was, and then it slowly grew on me. And it was the night when he was with John Cena, and he had the whole crowd singing that song, "I Got the Whole World in My Hands."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When he had that going on, and that's all the crowd would sing, it was at that moment I knew that we had something special.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt
is
a great mind. I mean, every character, every iteration of whether it was the Bray Wyatt and when he transformed into the Fiend, like even the Fiend, nobody knew what the heck it was when he first came out with it. And then next thing you know, it was the most popular thing on TV. I mean, I would post all the time about it. You know, I'd be like, wow, this is really, really good. This is really interesting. It's something fresh, something different. It's almost like a cult leader. And it was brilliantly done. Now, with the release, it bums me out because it's almost like, wow, you're really giving away the one thing that made this company special in a way, because everything else was so bland. It was always like, what is he going to do next? What can he come up with next? What is the work seeing? And they release him, and I don't even understand what the release. I don't understand any of the releases that have been happening. Whether it's AEW, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether it's New Japan, no matter where he goes, whoever picks him up is going to be the clear winner. Obviously, with the money situation, because there's always going to be money, right? AEW's in the front runner. I don't know if he'll accept the leader of the Dark Order just because of Brody Lee and how close they were together. And I don't think he's going to want to, like, trample over that legacy. That's the first thing I thought of myself when they released him was if he goes to AEW, he can become the leader of the Black Order, and that thing would probably blow up to be something great because of the mind that he has. Along with his brother, I mean, his brother, you know, in my opinion, I don't think he had anything going on for him even when he was working. It's almost like like no gimmick was for him. I almost felt like he was – I heard rumors, obviously, that he was going to join the Wyatt family, and I thought that if he did that, he might resurrect his career. But he didn't end up doing that. I don't know what they're gonna what he's gonna do outside. I mean, you know, we're gonna have to wait and see because obviously he was released before Bray Wyatt, so he's gonna be coming out, you know, signing with somebody before him. But they weren't even doing anything with him for the last, you know, year. He was almost in you know, everybody makes that joke of he was in the catering area for the most of the year. So, you know, I don't know where Dallas goes with this. You know, hopefully Bray Wyatt takes them somewhere. Hopefully they become something bigger. And like I said, no matter where they go, it's going to be exciting to watch. I mean, everybody makes
sense. That's what I'm saying. If there was ever a time to bring Bo Dallas out of the mothballs, it would have been then. You know, they could have, Randy Orton could have been beating him to death or whatever. And out of nowhere, Bo Dallas, whose real family, comes out and saves him. And they, you know, reunite as heels or whatever, that's when they could have brought him in, but they never did it. They just released him. So now that's, you know, you can run that same scenario. Bring Bo Dallas as a heel. Go, put a beard on that dude. Let him grow a beard or whatever, and then they could really run roughshod and really bring it to another level. I mean, I really think they could do that or whatever. But like you said about with John Cena, Nicolette and I went to a house show. This was a while back, and everybody, I'm gonna say most of the people mailed it in because it's a house show. There's no TV. Some people are a little bit more relaxed. Some people just mail it in and want to go home. There was two matches that stuck out. One was Dolph Ziggler against Brody Lee. They put on a show. I mean, I think Dolph Ziggler's really underrated. I mean, he really put on a show, and he had a good dance partner, you know, with Brody Lee. I thought it was cool, but dude, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns went at it, and they put on a show, dude. That match I didn't expect at all. And first of all, Nicolette and I had the best seats I've ever had going to a house show. We were eight rows back, but we had the two seats that were right by the rail where the wrestlers come out, you know. And I had so much fun, dude. I was, you know, you're right there, and wrestlers kind of come out of their shell or whatever. And I'm telling Bray Wyatt as he's walking out, "You're the best, bro. You're the best." And he turns around and he throws a wink or whatever, you know. And I'm like, after that match, I was like, dude, that was what I'm talking about or whatever. And especially when you can make Roman Reigns look good, like, you know, no disrespect or whatever, but he, like we were talking about wrestlers bringing it out in you, Bray Wyatt brought it out in Roman Reigns that day. I mean, I actually had it, and you know me, dude. I'm like always ripping on WWE or whatever. I had a good time, and I really enjoyed that match. And I thought, why is this was like you were talking about right before the WrestleMania, where he was supposed to go against Undertaker and it didn't happen, or whatever. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? You know, who is running this ship, or whatever. So, I agree. I think he's probably just one of the most innovative, whatever workers. If they do him right, he could really shine. I think they should bring Bo Dallas in as a real family, and they could really, AEW could put the foot on the gas and start surpassing some serious WWE. Now, with that being said, give me your thoughts on this, dude. What are they doing in WWE? It's the same matches time after time after time. You know, now they're letting a bunch of people go. Do you think that Vince, and I'm going to see if you can get into his head, do you think he says, hey, look, man, because I look at those SmackDown and Raw houses, and it's freaking packed, dude. If you tell me you're on a budget cut, I'm going to call BS, because that place is packed. What do you think? It's just a matter of Vince saying, look, man, I run this empire. We're still making money. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Do you think that's what it could be? Or I mean, because they're just going nuts now.
I don't know what the heck is going on. I'm trying to figure that out myself in many different – hold on, sorry about that. I'm just turning on my car here. So, rookie move here, rookie move. I don't know what he's doing. I would like to know. It makes
company, you know, because the cuts are coming. And I just heard there's going to be more cuts to come in the next few weeks. You know, I just – don't know what the heck is going on. You know, I'm hearing Triple H is not even involved in this, and he's upset. Obviously, Triple H even went out and picked up Samoa Joe, you know, days after he was released.
Yeah.
So what does that say about what, how much input does Triple H have in these customers? I look at the guys that they just released. You know, there's two names stand out to me. Bobby Fish and Mercedes Martinez. I might be a little biased with Mercedes Martinez just because she's local here, you know, and her story and whatnot. But I always thought she was a great wrestler. You know, they could have done a lot more with her. She got her you know, I'm happy for her that in her career she was able to finally make it there, do a few stuff for you know, the main roster, and then, you know, get sent back down to the NXT, which is fine. You know, no harm, no foul. You know, she got her opportunities. But Bobby Fish to me was definitely a curveball. Like, I kind of looked at that like, whoa, where the heck did that come from? Everybody else on that list, and Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed was just the North American champion holding the belt like just within the last few weeks. Like,
and the next thing you know, bye-bye.
Yeah. Those three names have thrown loopholes. Everybody else that was released, I have no clue. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, you know, like, I saw that coming. Like, I'm sorry. Those guys weren't even being used. You know, I guess you could say, you know, hey, man, what did you expect? They haven't been around and nobody's been using them. You know what I mean? So,
I'm not
going to sit here and say that they're not good talent. I'm just saying that those are not shockers to me.
They're releasing people, whatever. They're going to say budget cuts. Okay, whatever. But here's the thing I don't get. You know, you put the NXT belt on Killer Cross or whatever, and then you send him over to Raw, and you bury him. He goes and puts Jeff Hardy over, and then he put that big Morenito over. I forget his name. Like, they built him up, and then they killed him. Why would you even put the belt on him if you're going to send him to Raw and kill him? What's all that about?
I don't even get it. My head hurts thinking about this. One second, I'm, you know, all of the call-ups have been that way. You know, like, here's one for you. Where's Toni Storm been? They called her up to SmackDown. She went up there with Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox, and at least those two are still getting work every week.
Yeah.
But what was the point of calling up? What was the point of calling up Toni Storm and not use her? I think they used her for one match, and that was to wrestle against, what's her name, Vega, Selena Vega. they wrestle, she beats Zelina Vega in their first match, and then never to be heard of ever again.
And then they changed that Irish girl's gimmick into this character, like a, you know, a superhero, and they give Charlotte the belt, and then the girl comes out, cashes in her thing, and it's over. I'm like, I just don't get it. Charlotte should never be without the belt. She is the hood ornament to me and the epitome of a lady wrestler or whatever. I don't know if they're trying to prove a point or whatever, but when you look at the girl who won, I forget her name. She was the girl from Ireland. They made her like a superhero now. And
Mickey Ash.
Is that the show? Look, man, this is what we're going to do, and that's that. Too bad. You know, because it really,
you know,
that kind of, it makes it kind of silly. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to hate on that just because it's a feel-good story. I'm not going to say it makes sense either, but because it doesn't make any sense. But you know what? It's something different, something fresh. But then again, WWE drops the ball again. I think, what is it, after she won the belt, the following week she lost clean against Charlotte Flair. So it's almost like, wait, you just let your champion get pinned clean, makes her look so weak. Like,
what are we doing here?
What the hell's going on? Yeah, like, you just, I think the night before was the pay-per-view, right? It was Charlotte Flair versus,
right.
What's her name?
The girl with the black lipstick.
She's a badass. Yes. That's how I know her as, right? Against
yes.
her. And let me tell you this. If you didn't see my post on Facebook, my post said, this is what women is all about. Like, it was
yeah.
one of the perhaps the most entertaining match I had seen. In my opinion, I thought it stole the show up until John Cena decided to show up, and then I couldn't
yeah.
see him, but he was there apparently.
Yeah.
You know, but both of those girls had this match that fucking had me popping. I'm sitting at home. I rarely pop. I rarely mark out for things. I always give a lot of the new guys, I give them shit all the time because I'm like, hey, are you guys workers or are you marks? Because back in my day, I was never allowed to sit front row and pop for anybody. I was supposed to be in the back, being incognito, just standing there and respecting the guys that were in there, because that's what it was. It was about respecting what the guys that were in the ring, because it's their time to shine, not yours.
Yeah.
And well, that's a whole other story for another day. But
yeah.
I was popping in the privacy of my own home because that match had me, you know, like in holy shit moments. You know, I wanted to be a
yeah.
part of that crowd and be a part of that yeah. moment. And then like, you know, then they go do the belt thing, which I was like, okay, this is cool. Okay, where are we going with this? And then she loses
yeah.
the following week. And then I'm like,
yeah.
well, great. Just kill this poor lady's momentum.
Yeah, makes no sense. Lance Storm and I forget his name, used to have a show, a podcast called Killing the Town, because he said that's what they do. When you're the champion, you go defend it in your own hometown. You have to put somebody else over because it's called Killing the Town or whatever. So if they don't have no idea what's going on, I mean, we'll never figure it out. But anyways, I gotta take a quick break so we can get out of here. So hang on real quick. I'm going to take just a real quick break, and then we're going to get out of here. Hang on, everybody. Hang on. How's that for quick? Okay, hold on. I'll give you it. This is supposed to be applause. That's supposed to be applause, but it sounds like a horde of locusts. But anyways, for the people listening to us, we appreciate you, you know, coming on and checking us out. You know, we just gave it I don't know, it's like a horde of locusts or whatever, but we appreciate you, you know, listening. It's just weird. You know, we're just giving our opinions or whatever, just, you know, from you know, our point of view or whatever. But I'm sorry, it's just, and I think I can speak for Freddie when we say it's just, we love this business, man, and we just don't want to see it get crazy. People don't give our business enough respect as it is. When you say you're a professional wrestler, they go, oh, you're one of those fake wrestlers? And that annoys me more than calling me Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch or whatever. So that's why we try to bring a little bit of...
One?
Which one?
What about that other one? Do you do the real wrestling or do you that fake WWE wrestling?
Yeah. Or they like, go, like Hulk Hogan? They always say that.
Yeah,
but
that's
why we have this show, and we want to give you the kind of like the behind the scenes, you know, or whatever, what you got to go through, you know, to get there. There is injuries, and you have to hone your craft, or you're not going to, you know, you're not going to keep working, and you have to adapt. And just like we talked about today, you know, you got to learn, you know, your luchas, because it's different. And then, you know, one of these days you might just be at a show and they say, hey man, we need somebody for Andrade. Can anybody work lucha? And you're like, right here, bro. You know, or whatever. So just it's just stuff like that that we want the people to know, because it's just not all go out there and do a couple bumps and be Mr. Stuntman. It is a sport, and it means a lot to me, and I know it does to Freddie, you know, or else he wouldn't be here. So that's a whole main reason why, you know, we talk about this and we want to have this show. So we appreciate you. You know, you want to expand on that before we get out of here, Freddie?
I do it for the chicks. I don't know what you're
talking about. I do it for the chicks and the big bucks or whatever. So, But it's just true. You know, we want to make sure, and we do work. You have to work at it, because if you don't, then nobody's going to want to come and see you. So that's the main thing. So big ups to Guyan for coming on and talking to me. Don't forget his big show coming up. It's Sunday, August 22nd. You got to go check it out. It's at the Arena on Florence in Maine. Huge. I mean, that card is stacked and all that. So we'll make sure we post it on our social media. Freddie, any work coming up with you, man? And any shows coming up or what you got going on in the near future?
This Friday at John De La O's, the WWE returns for their summer nights, a big summer showdown going down. Yeah, I just got booked for a match on that, and I'll be going one-on-one against an up-and-newcomer named Bovey.
Okay.
He's kind of a clown, so I got to go in there and, you know, show him what's going on, because he walks around with his stupid participation belt. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Happening. You know what? I'm gonna go old school with him. You know, I'm just gonna unleash the havoc. You know, as they would say.
Great.
And maybe just take a stupid belt.
Yeah, well, make sure you go down to Delo's. It's at 8381 Patella Avenue. Make sure you check it out Friday. Great venue, you know, so you can go down there and go check out some good wrestling. So Freddie will post it up on his social media, and I'll put it on mine, so make sure that you guys go check it. I might go down and check that out. That's a Friday. I don't think I got anything going on Friday. I might want to go check that out and go talk to John for a little while, so we look forward to that. So, hey, Freddie, appreciate you coming on, man, especially when you got to go gas up the truck and everything. I'll see you. You'll be with us next Sunday?
Hey. Yeah, I'll be with you guys next Sunday. I was trying to make it out this morning with you guys to have that meeting, you know, and then obviously get paid, but I didn't make it out there.
Well,
maybe next Sunday I'll make it out real quick before I go to work.
We'll be meeting next Sunday for sure. Make sure you come down and we'll get everything all together for United Wrestling Council. All right, my friend?
Sounds good. And, yeah, dude, it'd be great to have you there Friday. If you want, bring some recording equipment. Maybe we get some interviews with some of the guys that have something, you know, something new, fresh. You know, and,
yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that'll work. All right, man. All right. That sounds like a good idea. All right, everybody. We'll see everybody here next Sunday. And don't forget to check out Freddie over at De La O Jiu-Jitsu, 8381 Stanton, this Friday, big VWE show. All right, man. We'll see everybody next week.
Thank you.